Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast, hour number two. Thanks for staying with us here on Resurrect Republic, second hour with Eric the Freedom Screamer, Chris in Las Vegas, Gary in Michigan. Everybody out there, if anybody wants to call in, the number, 800-313-9443. I'd like to encourage people to support the sponsors of this network, including the sponsor of one of the sponsors of this show is Pruitt's Tree Resin. Go there. The stuff is awesome. I used it for a while. I was seriously delaying promoting the product until I went through a full use of it. Tried it on me. I tried it on my pets. It works great. It's ancient tree resin, and it's got absolutely incredible healing properties, but I'll leave it to people to try on their own and determine themselves. You can go out to YouTube and type in Pruitt's Tree Resin, and you'll see a nice little documentary on that. So, support great family, Christian family, patriot family. They've done more for the patriot movement than I could describe in the 1 hour I have on this broadcast. And I don't say that lightly just because they're a sponsor. This is real. These are real patriots. True. Everything's made in America. So I encourage people to go to PruittsTreeResin.com and shop there for Christmas. Okay, to keep this broadcast up and running, and it supports my research and activism. I actually go do courtroom observing here in upstate New York, and we've had some success recently using the public officer's law. 15 states have a public officer's law, maybe more now. I'm sure they're trying to make it less, but 15 states, I'm pretty sure, was the number have a public, including New York and Nevada, have a public officer's law. And in Nevada, I believe it's NRS 282, which requires any and all public officers file an oath and a bond with the county clerk in which they're doing business, so to speak. As we know, they're all incorporated. And an oath is what they swear with their right hand to uphold the Constitution. Of course, they go out and violate it every day. And then the bond is an insurance policy against their either making a mistake, doing something accidental, or corrupt and illegal, which is highly likely if you type into your search engine, world's most corrupt professions. Unfortunately, police are usually at the top of the list, and it's because of the drug war. It encourages, it gives a place for drug gang dealer high level to go pay off high level local DAs and employees. I've had very credible evidence. I wasn't there for the transaction, but right from kind of the inside, so to speak, of federal judges taking payoffs in drug cases. And so it goes very deep and it goes very wide. So the drug war allows for all kinds of corruption, all kinds of money to be made by the police by taking payoffs, by the judges taking payoffs, usually through their clerk. And then the clerk gets promoted, as we've had here happen around here recently. And so, back to the public officer's law. The public officer, because there's so much corruption in the judiciary and the police and the government in general, both political parties, all sides, both sexes, all colors, everyone. You think any insurance company is going to want to insure their corrupt rear ends? Of course not. No insurance company in their right mind. They're not stupid. They're not going to insure a corrupt witch's court or anything like that. They're just, so guess what? the prices are so high to get a bond, most public servants either fail to file one in the first place or do not renew it. And I almost like catching them when we do catch them, which is often. None of the New York State Troopers have one, and we're told by an attorney that they're not officers of the court. Oh, really? New York State Troopers are not officers of the court? They're coming up to your car with a pistol and saying you're going to show up in court next Thursday, or we're going to come to your house and drag you out, and if you resist, we'll shoot you dead. They're not going to tell you that and be honest, but that's literally what will happen if it goes and you don't decide to comply with the witch's court. Of course they're officers of the court. Nimnuts, the troopers are the queen officers of the court. They are the Praetorian henchmen that make the witch's court entirely possible. Thanks, unbonded troopers. So we challenged them on that recently and met some legislatures that were going to look into it. We're told, stand down, you don't look into this because it's going to be your career if you keep looking into this, turn over this stone of unbonded. And I checked with the comptroller's office attorney and the New York State Police attorney, the attorney's office, not the commander of the barracks. I talked to the lawyers, and they said, no, we haven't had a request for their bond. And yes, they are public officers, and no, they're not bonded. And yes, we know the they're violating the public officer's law. So anyway, if you're in any kind of encounter with any public officer, that's the first thing I would have done if I was the attorneys in the Bundy case. Is Gloria Navarro bonded, and she have an open bond filed in Nye County, or where are they? They're down in Lombardo's County, Clark County. Is she bonded? How about Lombardo? How about all his deputies? How about all the marshals that were involved in the abduction to kidnap these guys and take them into the witch's court? Everybody in the chain of command. I'll bet you a bunch of them are both are bonded. So anyway, we caught a couple judges up here in New York small towns who failed to renew. So they had one on file. They couldn't deny and say, well, that doesn't exist. That's a conspiracy theory. Nobody does that. We haven't done that in centuries. It's like, ancient, biblical mosaic, you're going back so far in the law no. They had filed an open bond and then not renewed it. So they couldn't say, it doesn't exist or we don't do that anymore. Oh, they did it. They just figured, I've got my second term in office here. We'll let the open bond slide. It's too expensive. Going to have to pay too much money to the insurance company to get insurance on a corrupt witch's court officer or officer of the state. So anyway, we found that there were no open, in void of any open bond, none. They expired years before. By the law, these two judges up here, James Ames and Sandra Cameron, were both operating as private individuals, as if it were you or me, throwing on the witch's robe and walking up there to the court and tell the street Nazis to escort everybody into court, please, that you're all officers of the court, bring them in. No oath, no bond. And the public officers law actually has a section that says creation of vacancy. And it says if they fail to file the oath and bond or renew it, their position is vacant. So it literally forces them into a position of vacancy. They are literally operating as if it were you or me, private individual. And when I dug back to the 1929 statutory law, which had not been amended, it said it's a misdemeanor punishable by fines or imprisonment if a public officer fails to file their oath and bond. So there was all kinds of penalty and remedy and vacancy of position and teeth in this, and we filed a simple handwritten document, one and a half pages, barely, and it was enough to get after five appearances in court, okay, so the activism goes quite, with just one person, and they didn't have any money. And I do this, I don't charge people to go to court with them five times, and every time you have to go to court, everybody who's been to the witch's court knows that's a full day. You're going to have to get there early. It's never, the witches never come into the courtroom on time. They're always late. Even John Lamb was commenting on that. So anyway, it was a way to defeat the witches and Nazis is use the public officer's law of your state. So I just wanted to kind of go over that in a little extra. And in New York, the public officer's law is chapter 11. The creation of vacancy is chapter 30.1.H. And the remedy, I think, is in chapter 20. And then it's God, the revised statute, that's a little longer one and I don't have it in front of me, but people can look it up. If you're going to get into this, I encourage you're going to have to do some of your own research anyway. So, but there's a good start for everybody. A good chunk of the states, almost a third of them, have a way for you to address the situation of encountering anything to do with the witch's court or any kind of public officer. Code enforcement, that was one of the ones that we did lately. 5 times and they had finally dismissed the case. I highly recommend naming the judicial vicar for your diocese. Whose judicial do you think he's vicaring? Include him. Send him a copy of your paperwork if you're going into court. Keep it simple. Don't go on and on and on with it. Every extra word you put in that's too much is a loophole for them or a trap for you. Remember that. So keep your paperwork simple. Anyway, with that, I'd like to bring in Gary and Chris. Gary has seniority. Gary, how are you tonight, my friend?
Say again?
I was just asking Gary to come in and say hello. He's probably taking himself off mute. If Gary's there, come on in. If not, we'll hear from Chris. Chris, over to you until we get Gary on the line. How are you doing, Chris? What do you think about what I commented on? And something for you to look into as well. Are these people in the chain of custody and the chain of command and the chain of adjudication and the chain of incarceration and the chain of kidnapping? Are they all bonded and oath and bonded? Are they in violation of NRS 282? It's a place to start. Would you not agree? It's a good starting point just to get going. You can often beat these corrupt government prostitutes on their own statutes, codes, rules, and regulations. Chris?
Well, absolutely. I think you're right on point with that, to make sure that the officer of the court properly supports and upholds his oath and affirmation to office by taking that determinate job retaining oath and affirmation is critical to remind them that they do actually have a job duty obligation to perform in service to we the people. It's really unfortunate that really our whole legal system has been perverted and converted into a weaponized system of extortion. I look at it down there at the Clark County Justice Center. People lined up 100 deep outside the building to come in and have their monies extorted out of them and under the guise of fines and penalties, specious fines and taxes for traffic violations, which are really infractions. They're not crimes at all. They're nothing but revenue or revenue generation. So what they've really morphed into is just an extortionate operation of basically a mob operation operating the legal system in every town around the nation. And it's most unfortunate we've allowed it to pervert to that state, but it really almost is caused to cry out for pitchforks and tar.
Well, it is, and that's why it was so important for the enemy to incorporate, because once they incorporate, they're released, legally released from any governmental function, any. Tie to the people, any tie to history or the Constitution. They're a private corporation. This is why it was so dangerous that we've had so many public governmental entities. There's a few stray, and I don't use that word derogatorily. I use it in a complimentary way. A few towns or counties, and there might be more than a few. There might be hundreds, but we're talking out of tens of thousands of towns and thousands of counties. Most of them are incorporated. All the big ones are incorporated. All the, you know, New York and California, and you're going to find a lot of it in Texas. Down south, out west, you know, in some of the places like North Dakota and Montana, you may find, you know, towns that are unincorporated. I'd like to know, I'll try to do some research on this, but can anybody come up with a number on how many counties in this country? And I think there's 3,120-something, some, right around there. And how many are unincorporated and how many are incorporated? And it sounds like just what's the difference of two letters, incorporated or unincorporated? The difference is enormous. It's the difference between tyranny and freedom. If your counties or your town or your court, once your counties and your towns are incorporated, it automatically incorporates the court and all the entities that are related to that local government. It is no longer operating as a governing agent. Well, it's doing lots of governing, but it has lost its authority and its standing This is the word the court always looks to. So use this word bankruptcy court. This court has no standing as an incorporation or agent of an incorporated county or an agent. You can call the court an agent of it. You can call the judge, sir, you're an agent of an incorporated town. This puts you in a position of operating under color of law as if you were the government when you were actually a private entity. So this court has no jurisdiction over me as a living man. Am I being accused of a criminal act in here? And they'll say, well, and they'll say, you're being charged. And you'll say, well, the charge is different from an accusation. An accusation is not a charge. A charge is a monetary fee. Please call the vicar general and send my bill to him. He'll take it out of my cestu trust if I'm being charged through this incorporated court. Now, if I'm being accused of something, please show me a lawful indictment. Please show me a victim. And then we can proceed, and then a sworn affidavit from the victim, the alleged victim of my crime, from a living man, who, not a fictitious entity like the town or the county or the state. That's a descriptive term for something that is intangible. We need flesh and blood here, sir, ma'am, Mr. Witch. We need something here, a real victim. Well, these are just ways that you can approach the court, with fundamentals. If you're section and under the New York State Constitution, New York State is still under common law, except for what the legislature wants to do, but only if it's not in abrogation to the Constitution. So it's got a kind of a flip back and forth from we're under common law, but the attorneys can make changes to that, but only if it stays within the boundaries of the common law. You know, they can make work within that framework and parameter. So they're still locked in. Even though it leaves them a little squiggly room, and of course they're going to take it for the New York attorneys to pull us out of common law and put us under statutory maritime UCC. I saw the district attorney turn red in the face when good old Wayne Mosier, the hometown boy who is, you know, learning his way through the courtroom like a champ. You want to talk about and I don't use this term to be derogatory, but like redneck lawyer. He's getting great. He's very simple. I told him, keep it simple. Here's what you want to focus on. UCC. Am I being charged with a criminal act or a UCC? Because he was up under a code violation. So I knew that was obviously not going to be a criminal act. And so I said, you know, ask him, is this a criminal charge or is this a commercial action under UCC law, Uniform Commercial Code? And he said, so when he got up there, he said, he looked at the DA and he said, am I being charged under a criminal action? And the district attorney said, no, you're not. This is just a, you know, civil matter. And as if thinking it was going to calm everything down. And it's okay. This is just, we're just going to rip off your money and steal your house, which is not a criminal charge. And Wayne says, so this is a commercial action then. And the guy looks down at his feet and turns red in the face because he knew once he got locked into admitting that it was a commercial action he was in for. They had to produce a contract that Wayne had signed, and he had signed none. That's why the attorneys are desperate to come up with a lie called implied consent. No such thing. We'll talk about it right after the break with Eric the Freedom Screamer, Chris and Gary on the RBN Network.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Please don't talk about me when I'm gone. Oh, honey, though our friendship ceases from now on. And won't you listen if you can't say anything real nice? It's better not to talk at all, that's my advice. We're split, you go your way, I'll go mine, it's best we do. Here's a kiss and I hope that this brings lots of luck to you. Well, it makes no difference how I carry on. You remember, you can't talk about me when I'm gone, give this girl a kiss. I hope that this makes her do the boogaloo.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. Derek the Freedom Screamer, thanks for joining us tonight. I just told Mike my pre-New Year's resolution is to get right to the callers. By the way, Mike asked, he doesn't have an audio alert that beeps and makes a lot of noise because he's got things to do. We can't have noise in the background. It's just a visual board. He can't always look over and see if there's a caller or who's on the line. So, people, if you can't get through, keep hang up after five or six rings and just try back. All right, Michael will glance over to the board when he's in between doing his other miracle work, and he'll grab the calls as best he can. But we have a call right now. I think it's Dave in Nevada, so we're going to get right to him, and then I'll get back on to the implied consent and the other lies like constructive possession that the attorneys are coming up with. Exactly why Tom Acabara got scooped up and put in the witch's prison for a year, because of this lie called constructive possession. Possession requires actual holding. It's in the dictionary. I took the dictionary to one of the defense lawyers in the Shane Bennett case, and he asked me to make a copy of the page and send it to him. He didn't even know what the word was in the dictionary. Possession requires actual holding. There's no such thing as constructive possession, which means you can possess it if it's down the street in your vehicle. That's not possession. That's down the street in your vehicle. That's proximity, not possession. And there's also no such thing as implied consent, which the attorneys are and the town and the state is always looking for to drag you into a commercial violation and a subsequent quote-unquote charge. So with that, we're going to get right to the caller, Dave in Nevada. How are you, Dave?
Good, thanks. I just wanted to comment really quickly about something Tom said earlier. in the show, and then I'll get to what I wanted to talk about, which is the courts. Tom was commenting on why the media is not covering the Bundy case. And I wanted to respond to him personally, but he's not there. But my response to that is one of the biggest problems that I have with not just major media outlets, MSM, but alternative sites too. And this is the problem. Everyone's concerned about Russia and North Korea and people who are committing crimes against their people in some foreign land thousands and thousands of miles away in some far-off land. So we send millions and billions of dollars into the military. Donald Trump just signed a $700 billion military package for next year. $700 billion. And people are wondering why they're so damn poor. Okay? And there are shows on RBN that they focus, you know, and the founder said, don't get involved with foreign entanglements. But half of the shows on RBN, I hate to say this, all they do is talk about Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un. I don't give a crap about those people. If World War III is going to start, who cares? What are you going to do to prepare for World War III? Nothing. There's nothing you can do. I mean, people are talking about this stuff as if it's affecting their daily lives when they go shopping at Walmart. It doesn't. It really has nothing to do with you because you can't stop it anyways. And so this is one of the real big problems I have with a lot of these shows. It's not just RBN, but it's just a lot of these, like, alternative media sites. They're always talking about Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin and Syria and Saudi Arabia. I don't care about these countries. I really don't. I don't even care about Donald Trump or Judge Roy Moore. I mean, in a way, those people have nothing to do with my life either.
I'm always saying the same thing. The fix is local. You're not going to be able to change the Rothschilds, and you're not going to be able to take down Pope Francis, and it's gonna, you can pull the rug out from under him at your local level and take back your county, your town, your court, etc. You make some great – and am I glad you brought up what you just did about the point about why is – and it was something I kind of wanted to jump in, but I didn't want to interrupt Tom's hour.
Go ahead,
why the mainstream media doesn't report? And we have such a classic example right here in upstate New York. This guy, Arnie Rothschild, okay? His name's Arnold Rothschild. They call him Arnie. He's the head of the Theater League, and he's a Republican, quote-unquote, Republican strategist, and he's on this council and that committee, and he's Rothschild plantation manager for all us in upstate New York. He owns the local TV station, WHEC, who I used to love. So now I found out that it's owned by Arnie Rothschild, and this is why they won't report. Rothschild owned your local TV station. Talk about it on the RBN Network.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
To get worried, try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Well, don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's fine, and we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight.
Everything's all right. Yes.
Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you and anoint you. Therefore you're not far head out. Then you feel everything's alright. Yes, everything's fine. And it's cool and the ointment sweet for the fire in your head and feet. Close your eyes, close your eyes and relax. Think of nothing to
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. It's Eric with Gary and Chris, and we got Dave in Nevada, and it was okay. So we closed out the issue on the public officer's law. We talked about the lie called implied consent and constructive possession, which are lies made up by the bar. And I just want to touch on the point we were just talking about, which is why, and Tom brought it up initially in the first hour of Resurrect the Republic here on the RBN network, why is it not reported in the mainstream media? And it's such a classic example is right here in upstate New York, where formerly locally owned and locally owned by a patriot news station, WHEC-TV, NBC affiliate Channel 10, was getting pressure from NBC and now is owned by for one of the patriot owners of the station to not do speeches in denial of global warming. The weatherman, who was world-class weather guy, was coming out and saying, well, global warming's a scam. We're actually, the numbers say that if anything, we're slipping cold instead of hot, and it's all up to the sun anyway, and the cycles that come out of the solar, you know, the solar cycles. So anyway, and he got a call from NBC saying, we're going to yank your affiliate if you keep doing this, because NBC's pushing the global warming agenda. Now the station is owned by Ernie Rothschild, so it's actually directly owned by one of the Rothschilds. And so this is why you're not getting it, because Arnold, and very interesting, this guy Ernie Rothschild, he's big in the arts
community around upstate New York. And there's a lot of old money here that goes way back to the days of Eastman Kodak, who was founded here. And so, you know, the arts are big, and there's, you know, he's big, you know, he's on the Broadway Theater League and the Arts Council and this and that. And so he's out there in getting, you know, his getting kind of keeping control over the society, people's playtime. If you can get, that was one of the Rothschild plantation, our local Rothschild plantation manager. If you can get the people, keep the people in the, you know, in the high society, you know, the circuit, so to speak, kind of, you know, toeing the line, getting the government contracts. You know, getting the appearances and the good deals, you know, getting the breaks in the courts, you know, this is Arnie Rothschild. He owns the local, and he owns now he owns WHEC-TV, which I used to really love because it was locally owned by a patriotic guy named Kevin Williams. And he was fantastic, very well-spoken patriot. He was making some appearances and coming out and kind of in public, and he did a nice job. He was real, made a great case, and he's a public figure anyway from being on the television. So it was a shame to see that go down to the Rothschilds. And, of course, their affiliate, WYSL, one of the loosely affiliated with WYSL, they broadcast each other's stuff together. They're tightly connected. The radio station, WYSL, is you know, has the Second Amendment show that won't talk about no compliance or no enforcement. They won't talk about, you know, how both parties work for the bankers. They'll never use the word Rothschild because, you know, all this stuff seems to be getting traced back to Arnie Rothschild. So this is why we have a Rothschild directly owning our local TV station here. Do you really think they're going to broadcast anything about, you know, the Bundy? Absolutely not. I listened to the broadcast the other day, and everything was news from Washington D.C. and the sex scandals. This and Puerto Ricans from the hurricane are now moving to Rochester permanently. We're not going to repair their homes and fix them up, give them a place to stay for a year or two. Or 3 or 4 or 5 years, and, you know, get them settled back where they, no, to get everybody coming here. And guess who manages the big immigration invasion? Because when immigration is overbearing to a society or a community, the people in it who pay the bills, then that immigration becomes an immigration invasion. And that's what we have here. And of course, it all gets traced back to Catholic Charities, managed by the Vicar General, Dr. Joseph Hart. So between Arnie Rothschild and Joseph Hart and the Judicial Vicar Lou Sirianni, these are the big players, and Joel Seligman, who's the head of the medical establishment here, Strong, where they've been doing radiation tests. This was in the Plutonium Files book by Eileen Welsom, a whole chapter on the Rochester radiation experiments at Strong Memorial Hospital. He's big in there. He's big in there. And then, of course, the owner of the Wegmans food chain, which is a really big food chain that's and he's very, I mean, they made probably billions by now in this food supermarket chain. And so him and these are the players. It's not Schumer and it's not Cuomo. And I don't see anything, but I get very worried about the people coming from the right who aren't suggesting that we shut down the BLM. They're suggesting we got to go to the secretary of the BLM and see if we can fix it and then have some congressional hearings and sweep it all up within the parameters of the system nice and neat. No, anything, there's only one solution to this. Anything less than what I'm about to say is not satisfactory, and it's not going to work. We're just spitting into the wind. It won't work. The BLM has to be shut down, period. That's it. There's really not a lot of discussion past that. We can talk about the Constitution and the overreach and the policies that were discriminatory and the unprofessional conduct, and we're going to have some hearings in Congress, and we're all going to sweep it up. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear shut it down. Shut it down. Got it? I mean, it's real simple. The fundamental, it doesn't have to be as complex as they're making it for us. With that, Dave in Nevada, any more comments before we go on to our next caller, Dean in Utah?
Yeah, just real quickly, I just recently got a jaywalking ticket, and I think I'm actually going to fight it. And I'm going to probably use your argument that you're using because I'm just tired of this stuff, and I think it's time for people to start by fighting their tickets in court. I think that's where it's going to have to start.
Well, I agree. Fighting it on the small level, that was kind of, you know, like we had here with Wayne's case, we had to go to court 5 times together, and it was a lot of grueling, nightmarish back and forth, and you know, but ultimately, you win at the small level, then you win at the, and you've won at the big level automatically. That's why it's a double. You've won high and low, the whole battle, just by fighting it local and winning it local. Yeah, I would go in there if it was me. Not giving you legal advice, but here is what I would do.
No, go ahead.
I would look up NRS 282, the Public Officers Law for the State of Nevada. Read through the whole thing and all the auxiliary documents that go along with it. Get yourself knowing about it. Take the quotes out of it. Put it in a very simple common law document that says to and from. You know, you got the to and from over on the left and at the top, and then over on the right, just make two boxes at the top, and over on the right, put motion for dismissal, motion to dismiss with prejudice. Chris, correct me, is it motion to dismiss or motion for dismissal? I think it's motion to dismiss with prejudice. That's the most basic and simple way you want to put it, and that's the most direct. So motion to dismiss with prejudice, and then I do is just put I, Dave, you know, Smith family, a living man, one of the people, not having not consented to any contract, nor being in any trust with town, court, state, ecclesiastic, being grantor and grantee of payment and bid performance and payment bonds regarding this case, commonly known as docket number blah, blah, blah. I hereby find this court lacking jurisdiction under Federal Rules of Procedure 12B, lack of personal jurisdiction, lack of subject matter jurisdiction, quote the Federal Rules of Procedure 12B, and then quote the event for the following reason. They, trooper so-and-so or officer so-and-so or whatever street Nazi, whoever, that gave you that ticket, if this is the case now, you're going to have to look into it, you're going to get their name and see if they're bonded, fails to carry an oath and bond as required under Nevada Revised Statute Section 282 point whatever. And from there, and that's it. And this so you've already stated that this officer that's encountering you is unbonded, no oath, unbonded. They're operating, quote the section of the law that says the position is vacant. If it says creation of vacancies, look for that, creation of vacancies in the public officer's law. Look for remedy, look for penalty for public officers. And also look under your state statute. Sometimes there's a penalty for that public officer operating without an oath and bond. So just look into it real deep and then quote whatever sections out of the public officer's law that you can come up with. And then at the end, put a little teeth in it. What I do is I just put failure to dismiss is trespass. Trespass requires remedy. One silver dollar per second for trespass duration, beginning at origin of trespass. And so they're on the clock. You've just basically told them, you know, you're going to sue them starting from when this all started, them assaulting you. You weren't doing anything if there's no living victim. And also state in your paperwork, you know, there's no living victim. And, you know, of course, society cannot be a victim. It's a fictitious entity. So this agent of the state who is unbonded, officer so-and-so, is representing a fictitious entity claiming victim status. That would be a fraud upon the court. Fictitious means false. And if he's claiming that there's a false entity being harmed, that's a fraud upon the court. And say it in your proxy. This is a fraud upon the court. And then put trespasses, you know, motion to dismiss, failure to dismiss a trespass. Trespass requires remedy. One silver dollar per second for trespass duration. failure to dismiss will be proof that I, Dave, am injured. Failure to dismiss will be proof that I, Dave, am injured by loss of rights and interference by corporate government agents operating under color of law and exceeding their jurisdiction. And then just put a semicolon and then sign your name, have it witnessed. I just do it all by hand. I don't even waste my time typing it anymore. Screw it. I just write it nice and neat, and it's enough. And send a copy to the judicial vicar. Or the Vicar General. Send it to a copy to Robert Stoking. He's the Vicar General. He'll get a kick out of that. And then, you know, then take it from the judicial vicar. His name escapes me. Archimedes or something like that, I think. He might be the bishop. No, it's Bishop Pepe.
I forget the name of the judge. There's a judicial vicar in Las Vegas, I'm pretty sure. Chris, correct me on that if I'm wrong. But the vicar general is close enough because the judicial vicar basically works for the vicar general, who works for the bishop, who works for the cardinal, and they report right back to Rome. And they're managing us very carefully, and I've watched the court. If anybody thinks it's not the Vatican, I've watched the courts in New York, the surrogate court, that take the money, they take the property, and they take the children through CPS, and everything gets dished off to either Catholic Charities or Catholic Family Center, managed all by the Vicar General right there in public online. And I've watched the courts, not to mention the public administrator, who administrates all the estates, including the billion-dollar estate of Max Farish, what they ripped off with one ruling. The judge issued one ruling. The estate can be accessed by the attorneys to pay for legal fees. And the attorneys came in and cleaned it out, over $1 billion, left the four kids of a local billionaire with nothing. I mean, people wonder why I do what I do. There's people destitute because of the witch's court and the attorney bar members in Albany and Washington, D.C. Many listeners to this show are getting persecuted, and I don't have to convince too many people of what's going on. I'm preaching to the choir. I know that. So with that, we're going to skate. Dave, I'm going to get over to Dean in Utah. Call us again soon, okay, Dave?
All right. We'll see you. Thank you.
Hey, buddy. Dean in Utah, how are you tonight? We've got about 10 or 12 minutes left. We're going to squeeze in, hopefully, a prayer from Gary before we go. And, Dean, how are you?
Great. I was just turned on to you by Thomas from Utah that called in last night. I've been working on some legal stuff myself. I've spent 20 years fighting these guys, and most of it over in Nevada. So I know a lot of these rules and procedures. I've been wanting to get a hold of these Bundys to get this outside of the U.S. court. What they need to do is file a real habeas corpus in the Utah District Court down there, and start with just asking for the minimus. It's under Chapter 34. It's really hard to figure out because there's this company called Unidroid. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't. And my comment on what you're talking about is that logically and factually, you are correct, but in practice, they're not going to let it go out of this jurisdiction that it's in. They've got their teeth sunk into it through their corporate charters and their judicial procedure. So that what I try to do is I try to get them on the most obvious. The public officer's law is a great one because that's just so obvious. If they don't have the bond or the oath, they're not operating as a public officer. They're operating as a private individual. Therefore, all the jurisdiction is gone, and you actually have recourse as a victim from this person who's that has no oath and bond, as required by law. Now, if your state doesn't have that law, there's other ways, things that you can do. Just try to nail down, I always try to nail down nail them down, is this a criminal charge or is this a commercial action? And they'll try to say, it's not a criminal charge, don't worry about it, it's just civil or commercial. And then you say, well, where's the contract? If we're under UCC law, which is commercial law, you have to show me a contract and then they'll try to come out with this BS called implied consent, and then you can argue that that's a lie, and ultimately we're going to win some, lose some, and I've lost, seen people lose plenty, but I've also seen some victories as well. So it does pay to fight and resist nonviolently through paperwork and activism. Don't forget the courtroom observers pass out the jury nullification flyers, so if you have to go up in front of a jury for something serious, you want your people to know about this duty that they have to perform jury nullification. Dean?
But what kind of what I'm getting at here is when I was down there, I go for the right between the legs, and there's under Chapter 196 in NRS law, there's the crimes against the sovereign, and what I filed down there was the misprision of treason disclosure, and an act of war is anybody that. Defined under 196 there, anybody that forcefully enacts a statute or repeals one. So what had happened down there throughout the entire United States through this Unidroid, when the Twin Towers fell, they enacted a new corporate government called Department of Public Safety. These guys have all the power in the world now. They control every aspect of government. And so Metro down there is supposed to be run by the Department of Public Safety. They're the head of that. And they were the ones out there at the Bundy Ranch, if I remember right. And you don't hear nothing about Department of Public Safety on this Nevada, this last shooting down there. They've left it up to the sheriff. Now, this this so-called Department of Public Safety just comes and goes. But they're the ones that have the control over all the fusion centers, emergency management, Homeland Security, Department of Corrections, everything. And if you look, what happened when they enacted all these laws, and what got me into it is Department of Prisons out in Nevada went to the Department of Corrections. And I'm going, well, what's all this changeover? And there are all these statutes at large with all these special sessions. And anyway, that company's real name is called the Interstate Corrections Commission Corporation. And it's just private law under this UNIDROIT that drafts these laws for the entire United States.
That's right. It's the privatization. It's the privatization of everything.
It's an overthrow. And I've been trying to get a class action treason disclosures going. But these guys are one step ahead of me. I don't have a voice. This is all new to me, and I'm just starting to get it out. But I've had some of these, I filed some class action habeas corpuses over here in Utah because what I found out is these jails and stuff has been taken over by Department of Corrections, and they have literally no paperwork for anybody. They have no minimus. And so you
recourse. Right, the recourse is almost none because the courts are covering for them. And the higher courts cover for the lower courts. It's an uphill battle.
If you look, the word is getting out. If we all put our heads together, things are really starting to fall apart in the world. What I mean by that is this corruption's coming to a head, one way or another. Yeah. So
I hope so.
I'll keep in contact. Yeah. But yeah, nice listening to you guys.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate the call. Appreciate your interest in this broadcast. Thank you, Dean from Utah. Yeah, you're exactly right. 9/11 really was kind of in the overall picture, you know, the final consolidation.
Coup.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Dean. All right, we're going to go to Gary now for a prayer. Gary, thanks for being so patient and waiting. Can you give us a prayer to the Father for all the persecuted patriots that are still going through this nightmarish routine in the witch's court and all the people like Clive and Bundy who are still in the witch's prison? And the people who are in the square hairs, the activists like Tom LaGuevara, myself, and everybody who's, everybody who's risking their lives every day for this this thing we call freedom and liberty. Go ahead, Gary.
I'd like to thank you very much, Eric. And I've had quite an evening trying to get to listen to what was going on, so I missed quite a bit. They're playing with the phone in some way, shape, or form. But anyhow, I listened to what was going on, and I really think we need to develop a mentality, and I've been hearing this little by little from you and some of the other patriots that come on. We need to pray for a restitution and a remedy. We need a remedy out here. We need to pray for a remedy. We can come into any court in this country and use the one remedy in the system that would take them down, like getting rid of the BML. This is the only way you're going to get rid of that problem. It's like having rattlesnakes in your garden. The only way you're going to get rid of them is you're going to have to go out there and get rid of them verbally. They're not going to leave as long as they got something to eat there and somebody to scare. And anyhow, we come to our Father, Yahweh, and thank him for the things that we do have and for the brains that have crossed this country and for the patriots who have stood so strongly in behalf of the freedoms that you've given us. The freedoms really come from you, Father, but our forefathers brought them into volition by following your laws and your judgments, your statutes, and making them our statutes and our laws and our judgments that are concerned us on a personal basis. So we would pray that as we would lock hands and lock our hands together with each other and we would come to the point of figuring out a remedy, and no matter where it comes from, put a think tank together for us, Father, where these folks that come with all these different ideas and bring them to a volition of a remedy, which is what stated by Eric. The only way, and Father, that I see and other people see, is we're going to have to get rid of the BML, and we're going to have to get rid of those folks in any one of these organizations that should not be there. And we pray for that end, and we ask it all in the name of our Father, Yod-Hi Vahi, and thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Awesome prayer. Thank you so much for that. We got about a minute or two left.
I forgot to pray for Chris. I forgot to pray for Chris because I know he's having a difficult time.
That's okay. You can't start to name everybody. I mean, good God. If we
tell him I have my daily prayers.
Yo, I appreciate it. We appreciate that. That's huge. Yeah, we need the prayers, Gary. Thank you so much. And if we had to list everybody's name, it'd take all night. But it was a good analogy to the rattlesnakes there. We definitely have lizards on two legs walking through the halls of Congress and the multinational corporations. So we will hope and pray that we will be here again next week on Monday. You got Eric the Freedom Screamer with Gary and Chris. Appreciate everybody joining us tonight. Thanks to all our callers. Thanks for supporting the network. Please support your network and your activists. Tom needs funding. I need funding. Tom's Gmail is thomaslaguevara@gmail.com, and mine is erichughesjones@gmail.com. If you enjoy what you hear and you value this broadcast, support your activists, your favorite activists. Support the sponsors of this network. Please go to pruittstreerose.com. Watch the YouTube video. Buy some products. You can either buy a piece of Chinese junk for someone you supposedly love this business, or you can buy something from a Patriot family that's made in America and really works. We'll see you next week. It's Eric and Gary and Chris. Thank you, Mike, on the board. Thank you, Mike Herzog. Thank you, Tom Lacavara. Thank you, John Stantmiller. Thanks to everybody for the network. And get your jury nullification flyers out. We'll see you next week on the RBN Network. On this winter night with you.